Howdy, everybody! If you didn't know, it has been an eventful couple of days here at the DNR headquarters. We got funded, against all odds. A few days ago, we were $20,000 short of our goal. We started streaming Sunday afternoon and kept going until dawn. And yeah, we managed to do it. So thank you, everybody who contributed. Thank you for anyone who shared that link. A big thank you to World Anvil because they kind of came in at the zero hour and they closed the gap. So yeah, thank you, everybody. We are still recovering because there's just so much to do, but people will be getting backer reports and surveys and stuff like that. We're going to need all that info from you guys. And that's why this episode was a little bit late. In any event, this is the Overseer's last episode, guys. We really hope that you guys enjoy it as we march toward the end of Arc 4. We'll be making a ton of changes, and we'll be letting you guys in on all of it very, very soon. But until then, please enjoy this episode. Rate us on iTunes, let us know what you think, send us emails at dandrpodcast@gmail.com. That's dandrpodcast@gmail.com. Now, let me get out of your way. We can listen to a couple of words from our sponsors and then get on with the finale of Overseers. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Do that thing one last time where we go around the table and introduce ourselves. I'm Jason. I'm the Dungeon Master going around the table. Start with Valerie.
Hi, I'm Valerie coming to you live, and by live I mean pre-recorded from the other side of town, far away from COVID. I play Linda Wright, the human bard, and also the owner of the Twin Oaks Mining Company. Thank you.
It's like, wait, how much more is there?
should we clap?
Yeah, was that the beginning?
I just initiate something?
Please clap! Oh my god, okay. I'm not gonna get into it, but every once in a while I forget about please clap. And then there's a yes. wave of emotion yes. that like hits me. Please clap.
You just said it and I'm having these emotions.
And Jameson.
Hi, I'm Jameson. I play Cave Loring, the human warlock and foreman of the Twin Oaks Mining Company.
And Xavier.
Hello, I'm Xavier, and I play Dr. Bell, the lizard folk rogue, who is the doctor of the company.
And last and certainly not least, Jasper.
Hello, I'm Jasper. I play Archmage Floss Balal, Warforged Barbarian, and I guess he's still an ore extractor. That's all he's ever been, that is, as far as he knows, anyway.
Well, we haven't gotten to the quarterly reviews yet. Like, you have previous business to wrap up, and then, who knows?
It's true. Remember when we got raided? That there was a bureau that raided us, and we've only gotten one point.
So you made a graph? Ratings? We made a graph on Google spreadsheet, and it never went further than just a point, because there was never a second entry.
It's only been 2 weeks. Like, it's been an eventful 2 weeks. It's been one hell of a fortnight. So, the uninitiated out there, I'm going to be super brief, give you the TLDR. The Overseers have raided the Hail Extraction mining company here. And they've killed everything in sight. Their main job is to get Harmon Hale himself, who has fled, into a mech, essentially. It is a giant Warforged Titan that is meant to excavate and, you know, that there's all kinds of stuff that it's outfitted for, but he's essentially using it for protection and as a weapon. So we got ourselves an old-fashioned Sega Genesis boss fight here, guys. Man, I cannot wait. We've never done this before. This is great. So, I need everybody to do me a favor and roll initiative. We're jumping right into it, guys. And let's do Hale's initiative.
Oh, I need a map. Which map are we on? Sorry.
I'm going to give it to you. Oh my god, okay. You rolled a three.
All right.
So for those of you out there, this is like a big, almost an arena, but what it is this deep, cavernous hole that's just been drilled into and excavated over years and years and years. And there's a series of both rope bridges and minecart rails sort of every just to and fro. It's all spaghetti. Do not fall into those holes. That would be bad. Does everyone have the map?
Yeah. I got scared for a moment because my the program froze for a bit. I was like, oh, I God, hope it's because of the map. And it was.
It's a big map.
It's a big map.
All right. Kicking us off is Linda.
Perfect. I have a question, and it's not because I don't know what I'm doing. It's because I'm using a PC. What is the button to select a person?
Control.
Is it control? It is control?
Yeah, it's basically the same. It's command on an Apple, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Oh, I'm touching everybody, that's why.
Oh, wow, you need to stop that. That's
Linda.
Right. HR will get rid of
it. Yeah, I have to talk to Cam about this.
Okay. How do I see how far away he is? What's the button that makes the line pop up? Oh, there it is. 100 feet?
Yeah.
So we're not even close enough to do anything.
I mean, you need to get closer. That's what
Dang.
You want.
Dang. Okay. Well, I guess we gotta go left because the right side of the walkway is put it. Now, just Harmon knows we're here, right?
Oh, yeah. He spoke to you.
Of course. So, okay, then I'm just going to move up a bunch. Uh-huh. Speed 30. We'll go here. And I'm going to say, what? Did I not move?
Hold on.
I'm confused.
No. It's the map. I got it. Go ahead. You're good.
Okay. Ooh. Again, and now I can't. That's somewhere around there. And I'm going to say, you can't hide behind your robot forever. And then she'll look back and say, sorry, Floss.
Dr. Bell puts his hand on his chest, offended.
And then, oh, yeah. I guess you do, doctor.
Kind of.
But the sorry floss mm-hmm. is because I'm actually casting Bardic Inspiration.
Well.
On floss.
I'll take it.
So that's a D10. Wait, do I roll the D10?
No, it's if he cashes it in, basically.
Oh, so I don't roll it.
Nah.
Just kidding.
You're just providing it.
So you get a D10. You can reroll. You know. That's it. That's my turn.
All right. Dr. Bell.
Yeah, he won't go too far. Actually, you know what? Dr. Bell waits and kind of nods at Floss. And I'm just going to delay my turn.
All right, Floss, you're up.
Ooh. I mean, here's the thing. He's pretty far away. There's not too many ways or places this mechanism can even go. So I think he's going to walk up and be right next to Linda. And that's it. Oh, actually, no. I am going to do something. As long as I'm correct here. So I've got intimidating presence, and I can use my action to frighten anybody. But I'm wondering if there's a distance to it that I just don't have.
There is.
I think it's 60
yeah.
feet. I think.
I think for dragons it's 60 feet.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Otherwise it's 30.
Okay. Never mind.
Let's see. Well, hold on.
Double check.
Three. Yeah. Intimidating presence. At 10th level, you can use your action to roar at somebody. If you do, choose one creature you can see within 30 feet.
Okay, never mind. He's just going to come up straight up next to Linda, and he's going to brandish his hammer, basically like, come and get it. He's not going to say anything, but he's going to say, but he's going to act like that.
So it's like action pose time. Like
it's totally action pose time.
Got it. Cave.
Can you kind of describe for me a little bit what the cockpit of this dude's mech looks like? Is he like sitting in like a Dr. Wily style like open thing, or is he in a Gundam? Like, what's it look like?
It's so. This thing is meant to be piloted safely while excavating stuff like this, so there is a bit of a bubble over it.
Okay.
And it very Dr. Robotnik, very Dr. Wily, without it being egg-shaped. It almost looks like a giant, more armored version of what Ripley, the loader bot, the what Ripley uses in Alien.
Okay.
Like that.
Okay.
But way bigger.
But way bigger, right. I don't know what the OSHA standards are on for these types of things, but is this like a thing where there would be room for more than one person in the cockpit, or is it like clearly just like the alien thing, like it's one person kind of docked into it?
Yeah, like you're kind of like snug. It's almost like a NASCAR thing where you're just like, you know, belted in and everything. And to be honest, Hale is a larger gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably airplane seating for him. Like it's a little snug.
It's a little bit snug. Okay. I'm going to dimension door to it.
Oh!
If the reason I was asking, because if there's even the remotest chance that I would fit inside of it, I want to dimension door into it, but I don't want to. I don't want both of us to explode. Although, that would end the fight.
Can you teleport into him? Like you would?
Ant-Man, no. Oh,
But no, I want to dimension door, if I can, behind his cockpit seat.
How far is your dimension door?
500 feet.
Oh my god, yeah. Yeah. That'll do it.
So Cave will turn and kind of just, because the only person who hasn't moved is Chapman. So Cave will kind of turn and give him that kind of nod, like, see you on the other side, and then like an actual door will open and he'll go through it and appear behind Chapman in the back of this thing.
Anything not to Chapman, do like a quantum leap reference, anything we could do to do that.
So that is what kind of movement and what kind of action is that? Sorry, I should have had that. Dimension door is one action. So that's basically my turn, is getting
right. That's like a get out of jail free card. Like you're. So how far behind him are you? Like right behind him?
So again, depending on how the cockpit of this thing is stationed, if it's literally like a bubble coming out the top of this thing, I want to appear like behind it, right? So that.
Oh, so you're on the mech.
Yeah, on top of it.
Oh God. Okay. Yeah. We could do that.
Okay. How's the footing up here? I mean, it's designed to get in and out of, right?
Yes. Not while moving though. So that's going to be tricky. We'll cross that rickety bridge when we get to it, though.
Sure, fine.
So let's place you back here. Let's boom. That'll bring up Hale, who does not know you are there yet. Like that's pretty awesome. So there's this chainsaw hand, basically, and like a hammer, and he is going to kind of raise both of these up as I lose my voice. Great time for that. And he's going to start to deliberately stomp toward the party. And he's got decent. Like, he can get to you from here. But that would be it. Like, that's everything for him. So he's going to move onto this bridge with you. And Cave, we're going to get to you in just a moment. When it's your turn again. Top of the order.
Before you shuffle, can I take my turn after Harmon before the reshuffle?
Yes.
All right. I won't do too much. But yeah, I'm just going to bring Chapman closer. He's going to run past the pillars. He's going to try to duck and stay out of sight mostly. And he's going to take cover behind this low wall here by the bridge. That's going to be it.
Okay. So you set yourself up. Okay. Linda, you're top of the order again.
Perfect. Question is, because Cave's a warlock, does that give him special fire resistance powers?
I don't believe so. That sounds like a leading question, though.
No, but go on.
Yeah. Well,
I was just going to set him on fire.
Cave?
No, the Harmon.
Oh!
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, I'll follow your lead. Go for it.
You will be on fire.
Give me a moment. Yep, go for it.
Okay. So Linda's actually gonna take a step or two back. And she's gonna say, I've had enough of your shit, Harmon. I'm so done. I don't even care anymore. And then she's gonna use Flame Strike.
Oh, okay.
10-foot radius, 4-foot, 40-foot high cylinder. So that's like basically him.
That's all of it. Yeah. That's pretty much
all of him. He must make a dexterity saving throw. I'm sure he's very dexterous in that mech.
This is gonna go poorly. 18 with a negative one.
Okay. So Linda's gonna.
Oh, wait. Mm-hmm. Cave's on there.
Oh, that's true. Still have damage, yes. Too.
And there's still damage, yeah.
Yeah. I think Cave needs to make a dex saving throw.
What's the DC?
Who's to say? So,
should have put
15,
that in the cheat sheet.
15.
Dex. Okay.
You have advantage? Oh, wow. With disadvantage, you're fine, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah, the armor.
So Linda's going to say all the things, and then she's going to kind of just, like, put her hands out and, like, wait for the flames to come up. And they, like, kind of come up, but they don't come up as much as she thought they would, because you guys are still going to take... I don't know how half damage works. Oh, you do the whole damage, but then you hold something. You say half damage, right?
There's a little marker up. You see that plus minus on the right-hand side, the little button?
Half. Perfect.
There you go.
So it's going to be... It's 4d6 fire damage and 4d6 radiant damage.
Oh my god, don't forget to target...
yes, Cave. Yeah, also, there you go. That's... Control, got it, and then...
So 8d8?
8d6.
Oh, 8d6, sorry.
8d6.
Okay.
I think it's 8. Yeah. There's probably a button for that.
Jesus, that's 33, cut in half?
Yeah, there was a damage button.
Okay.
I did forget how D&D works, like I said.
I don't think that did damage to them, though.
Yeah, no, I was just rolling it. Because I didn't know there was a button.
But the targeting, Val. Okay. All right.
It's good, though, because now I know there's a button.
You kill any smalls. So that'll be 16 damage.
Yeah, and that'll be it.
Okay. That'll bring up Floss.
Okay, so Floss is going to... Well, actually, here's a question. We're on this bridge. This is a kind of a if we're using this map, it's pretty accurate. There's a bunch of holes and a bunch of broken pieces and things like that around.
Yeah.
Is there a weak point between me and, or between Floss and Hale, that he could smash a little bit more? Like, in other words, is there a place here that he could make even worse than it was?
Well, if you... So, this this bridge is about, it's a little shy of 15 feet wide, right? Mm-hmm. And then the concrete under that is really thick, and then there's a metal mesh, like,
yeah, okay,
it's like it's almost not rebar, but like it's a yeah. whole support structure.
Fine. I'm just looking for ways to be able to potentially make this a little bit unstable. But
oh, I'm sure it'll get there. I
all right. You know what? Here's what he's going to do. He's going to, since he's within range, he's going to go ahead and invoke his intimidating presence. Instead of sort of doing a roar, a barbarian type roar, he's just going to floss it up a little bit, and he's going to say, "Now you're the little bitch." And that's going to be incredibly brutal. And he's going to try to frighten him. DC 12 plus charisma. It must succeed on a wisdom saving throw. So it would be...
What's your charisma?
Charisma is really, really high. It is a 5. So it's a negative 3.
Ooh, okay. So 9. DC 9.
Plus proficiency.
Yeah, well, that was a part of the 12.
Oh my god, hey! He rolled a 5!
He's trying. Problem is, he's not really... He's going slow because he's exhausted. He's got a couple of levels of exhaustion, so he's going half speed, so he can't really make it up. But he's going to try, which is bad news, but he's going to try and probably just peter out once he gets there. So he's going to get up close. He's here. He can only go 15 feet. Mm-hmm. Can he still attack? He was 20 feet away.
The intimidating presence was the action, I believe.
Yeah, that was your action.
I have 2 attacks.
No, but that's if you take the action to attack.
Oh, right, of course.
But you can start your rage now.
I am going to
start
my rage now.
Get those sweet bonuses.
I'm going to.
Going to rage.
So he is going to be stomping up, and he's going to be looking a bit confused about his speed. He feels like it's almost like his batteries are running down.
So effectively frightened is, I think Harmon takes disadvantage on ability checks and on attack rolls, and he can't willingly move closer to you, I think is what it is, as long as you're in his line of sight.
Well, let's deal with Dr. Bell first.
I'll try to take a peek at the center of the room where there's all these barrels and cranes and stuff. I kind of just want to get an impression of what's there. This is a mine. Are there still explosives or stuff I could like move that crane around and do some environmental damage and stuff? Let's make it cinematic.
There are definitely explosives. There is a crane, but it's a hand crane behind him. So you'd have to get there and then start moving stuff around, but that could definitely give you a lot of reach.
Sweet. Okay, I think I'm going to use all my actions to... I'm going to have to calculate it, though. I was here. So my speed is 30. I'm going to use my dash and my action. I mean, my bonus and my action to dash. So it's going to move 3 times my speed, so 90 total. I'll just do it 5 feet by 5 feet. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm assuming I'm going to have to jump over this gap between the bridge
absolutely,
and
yeah.
the roof. All right. But it's not a fall to my death here, right? Or is it?
Not there. You would be falling a bit, but like, yeah, no. There's like, there's rubble under you and stuff like that. Dude, just give me an acrobatics, and if it's 12 or higher, you're fine.
Okay. Oh boy, acrobatics. Let's go. Why is it an 11?
Oh no. Yeah, you'd kind of eat it a little bit and fall, but you'd only fall like 10 feet down, okay. So you'd only take like a d6 in damage, and then like, oh, of course it's 6. Why wouldn't it be 6? yeah, that's gonna suck.
Ow. And then I'm gonna try to like scuttle my way around this rock and climb back up on the rails. So that's another one. I'm sorry. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Then I'll have my last movement of 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now I'm here.
Yay! Okay, so you're gradually kind of like taking the outside the bridges and stuff like that and trying to wrap around to get behind him. Yep. Got it. That'll bring up Hale, which... Holy Lord. So, Cave is still on Hale's, like, on this structure, right? And when we get to Cave, there's a bunch of stuff we gotta do, but, like, he's holding on while there's these pistons and machinery and stuff like that. It is not meant to be held onto. And now it's, like, fucking hot. Like, it was set on fire. So, it makes it a bit more tricky to hold onto. And he's gonna take... He's gonna take a step or two back away from Floss, just because it's like, okay, whoa. But he's so pissed at Linda. You set him on fire. But he's relatively unscathed. And he's going to kind of like crouch down in position, and he's going to say, "Oh, I don't think you're as hot as you believe you are, little lady." And he's going to vent steam in a 60-foot cone in front of him. So that definitely gets... Yeah, it gets Linda and Floss. I need a constitution saving throw, and we're looking for 14 or higher.
Cool. Is this an attack? Because he does have disadvantage.
It's not an attack.
It's like an ability. Yeah, it's like... This is... So these machines get hot, and it vents steam every once in a while. He's using this to try and boil you alive, though.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Okay.
Oh, God, 9. 9 for Linda.
Good.
I'm sorry, you asked for a con save?
Con save, please.
Easy peasy.
Oh, 21. You're fine. So you're going to take half damage. It's 8d8 fire damage.
8d8.
Yeah, so hold on. Oh, wowza. That is 39 damage to Linda. And 19, I think, to Floss.
And Jameson makes a good point in the chat, which is, would I have gotten an opportunity attack when he backed away from me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. Have at it, sure.
Well, then I'm going to do it. I mean, it's just going to be a hammer straight to the chest.
18 will miss.
Interesting. Ooh. Interesting.
I saw Xavier's face. Like,
yeah.
What?
I mean, yeah, that means, like, when the AC is this high, it's not that you whiff necessarily. It could mean that your hammer just bounces.
Clang. I think that's it. Is it he yeah. went straight to the chest, like, this should do it.
Boom. Oh, God. That brings up Cave.
So, upon having been hit by a fireball from Linda, that's going to kind of splash over the cockpit of this thing and where he's standing, and the fires are kind of link up. But what's going to happen is the fires are going to sort of start, instead of dissipating the way you would expect after something like that, it's going to start to sort of circle a little bit in the area and then actually pull into Cave. Because what he's casting is Investiture of Flame.
Ooh.
So that fire, here's the full effect list of what happens with Investiture of Flame. Flames race across your body, shedding bright light in a 30-foot radius and dim light for an additional 30 feet. So we can all see. You're welcome. That's the whole spell. the flames don't harm you until the spell ends. You gain the following benefits. You are immune to fire damage, so we should have used this last turn, and have resistance to cold damage. Any creature that moves within 5 feet of you for the first time or ends their turn within 5 feet of you takes 1d10 fire damage. And I can use my action to basically make a fire attack that's 15 foot long, 5 feet wide, and does 48 fire damage. And that's during the spell's duration. I can do that every turn. So I'm now immune to fire, whatever happens next. He is right next to me, so I believe he'll take 1d10 fire damage, unless he's protected by his cockpit, which he wasn't protected from Linda's thing, so...
No, I... Yeah, you're technically occupying his space, but yeah, do it. Let's do
okay.
it.
Is it on your turn or on his turn?
It's the end of my turn.
Okay.
Mm.
Wait, you might be right. Hang on, let me reread it. Or ends its turn there. Yeah, so it's on his turn. Good catch.
Got it.
So in that case, that's an action to cast that spell. I am now the Human Torch in a giant suit of armor hanging onto the back of this thing. And so, yeah,
that's definitely going to get Hale's attention, by the way, because he's focused. He's focused down here, and all of a sudden, there's a bunch of like fire shit. He's like,
"Oh yeah!" What? No, as soon as he finished casting, that cave is going to be, and he's got like his eyes are burning like bright yellow, and his mouth, and like that whole thing where he's basically just like a man on fire. And he goes, "Hey, Harmon, I hate to say it, bud, but you're fired." And that's my turn.
Oh my god!
Nice save.
So from here on out, he is going to be doing everything he can to get you the fuck off him, which mm-hmm. means I'm going to need constitution saving throws at the beginning of each of your turns.
Of my turns?
Of your turns.
Okay.
Going back up, Linda leading us off again for round three.
Perfect. So now that Cave is immune... I'm like, well, Cave's already on fire. A little more fire isn't gonna hurt. And Linda will say to Harmon, "Trust me, I know I'm too hot to handle." Wow. And then she's gonna do Flame Strike, but at level 6.
Oh.
Which means I get... I believe it's one extra D6. Yes. That's either fire or radiant damage. But I think... Yeah, so that'll be on Cave and Harmon.
Oof, God, they both fail. But if he's immune to fire, it doesn't matter. You don't need to target him. Yeah.
Well, that's, it does radiant damage, too.
Oh, shit, it does!
That is true that I didn't think about.
You're still muted, Jameson.
I thought it was fire or radiant.
No,
it's both. It's
fire lit and fire. Radiant.
Neat. Cool.
Okay, so...
So here's what we do.
Yeah.
Roll... Untarget Cave, roll the full damage, and the radiant bits we're just going to give to Cave. Everything else is fine, but Hale's taken the whole brunt. He rolled a 2.
Okay, and I'm adding the extra D6 onto fire.
Mm-hmm.
So let me roll that first. Good.
Plus one.
And then damage.
26 damage, so...
No, which 4 do we take for the radiant damage?
Well, you could do the first 4 and then the second 4. But did you... Shouldn't you roll 2d6s? Because it's one additional fire and one additional radiant, or nah?
It's one or the other, I think.
It's one or the other.
Ah, okay, I missed that. Cool.
Yeah, okay, let's do that. First 4 were supposed to be... Fire, second
fire,
four, okay.
Second four, radiant.
6,
yeah.
7, 8, 9, 10, 11 to Cave, bringing him up to 50 total wounds.
Good.
And then 26 to Hale. Boom. Okay. Anything else?
That was... Okay, yeah, because that was an action. I will then do a bonus action... I will do Healing Word on Cave, and I will do it at level 3.
Sorry, Val.
Oh, no.
It's the old Xavier again. Because he used the spell, you can't use a second spell, even though it was a bonus action.
Oh, so sorry. No! More
sorry
spell
to be there.
Rules? Oh, my God.
Hey, do you know it's not going to be a thing soon?
I'm so excited.
You could give a bardic inspiration or save your uses for cutting words. That's also that could be good to save them. But observing the scene from his rickety bridge in the distance, seeing as like nothing is lit in this huge cavern except that bridge where Cave is emanating flames. So this scene is very Balrog-esque in nature, I guess.
Yeah, there keeps being like explosions in that one spot over and over again.
And Chapman just saw like the beam of steam hit Linda full force, and he just yells, echoing in the cavern, "Linda, don't be daft! Run to the tunnels!"
fly, you fools.
Linda will not heed that advice.
Wow.
Well, that was it medical advice, but all right. Don't listen to your doctor.
Cave, you are up. It's getting dangerous up here.
Yeah.
I need a constitution saving throw, please.
I'm just going to elect to just stay on, if that's okay.
Okay. Well.
Yeah, just do that. I'll roll a friggin' 8. Cool.
You are going to fall off this thing.
Neat.
Now, okay. Now, here's the thing. Hold on. We are on this rickety bridge, and he's trying to wiggle you off. Mm-hmm. Here's what I want to do. I want you to roll a d20, and unless you roll a 1, 2, or 3, you're just going to be tossed off onto this bridge somewhere and take a little damage.
Fair. Okay.
It's always when you say that you roll a 1 with 2 or 3. Every time you say, I've listened to the show, Jason. Every time you say, won't happen unless you really beef this. Unless you really biff it.
18! Look at that!
Okay, I unjinxed it by being cynical.
So you are gonna fall, but you're just gonna take 2d6 damage, and you're kind of like right behind one of these heels, right? Like it's okay. So as long as this doesn't roll too high, that's a 7. So you've got a few hit points left, like four hit points.
I'll be fine. Okay, so now I guess we're going to... Well, I'm behind him, so can I even hit him in the stupid cockpit from where he is right now?
Let's say the jostling does damage. You doing damage to the bot is going to do damage to him.
Well, okay, so my thought is this, is now that I'm the Human Torch, what if I just burn one of the legs off of this thing, right?
So you're on fire.
Yeah.
And you want to, like... just grab the side of this thing and just try to
not
like,
only that, but
down.
I have the ability to make a fire attack every turn, right? So like my physical presence plus my fire attack every turn, like how many turns of that to one leg before this thing loses mobility?
If you crit at any time, this leg's going to come out from underneath of him, but I give it 20 damage before there's a big problem
damage?
For him.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so with my investiture of flame, I'm able to do 48 fire damage to it.
Ooh, baby.
So do you... I mean, that's an attack roll, so let me make the attack.
Is Investiture of Flame concentration?
It is, so should I roll for concentration?
Oh, you gotta roll concentration first because you fell.
Okay. I'm used to doing it automatically. That's fine.
Playing both themes. Sorry.
It's okay. The concentration is just a con save, right? Or do I have to roll a skill? I forget how it works.
I think it's just a con save.
Yeah.
It's just a con save, and I think you're shooting for 10? No, something.
Yeah, I always forget the DC for concentration when there's damage.
Well, let's see if it's 11.
hold on.
That's right on the cusp.
Oh, God. Concentration... taking damage, make a con saving throw with a DC of either 10 or half of the damage taken, whichever is higher. So 10 would be higher. So you're 10.
Okay.
You're okay. So yeah.
All right. Whew. So I'm going to do that. I'm basically going to like hug the leg of this thing and just put fire on it.
So I imagine you're attacking like right behind the knee where the joints are and stuff
exactly.
like that.
Like just, wherever the exposed wiring is and stuff like that. So, yeah, you can create a line of fire 15 feet long and 5 feet wide, extending from you in the direction you choose. Each creature in the line makes a dexterity save, so it's not an attack. It's a dex save.
Well, he's going to fail that. So
okay.
He's got... what has he got? He's got a negative 1. 8.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, 48 fire damage. Here we go.
Let's see.
Back to it.
Sixteen damage to the All back right. of this leg.
When he starts his turn within 5 feet of me, it's going to take another 10 damage, or 1d10 damage.
Okay, Dr. Bell.
Any of those barrels or crates that I can see that
could clearly be explosives, or am I going to have to search a bit?
You know what? Let's operate on the principle that they have bright red containers for their explosives.
Yes, thank you, Sega Genesis.
Yeah, let's go full trope. Can you roll a D4 for me, and that'll tell us how many explosives there are?
Two.
There are two explosive barrels. So I'm going to say that one and that one. So they're behind him a bit, like a good, like what? That's 40 feet or so? 40, 45 feet?
Yeah.
Maybe a little more. But they are there.
Cool. Okay, so I will keep running on my bridge as carefully as I can. So that's 5, 10... diagonal 15, diagonal 20, diagonal 25, diagonal 30. I'm going to take my bonus cunning action to move another 30 feet. 5, 10, 15, 20. And I want to use my action to lay this barrel on its side so I can roll.
Oh, God. You can absolutely do that, yes. Oh no. Floss, you are up.
Okay, Floss is going to see what Cave has done in focusing on this leg. And he's going to stop. He's going to kind of do the dog head thing when it doesn't understand something. Ah, I like your thinking. And he's going to run up and he's going to smash at the foot, basically on the other side of his leg. Taking care not to hit Cave, of course. And this is reckless attack, too. So.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to advantage. Oh, here we go.
20 will hit.
20 will hit. And.
14 damage.
14 damage. That's one attack. I've got two more attacks since I am raging and I'm amazing. So, wait. You said 20 hit points for this leg, right?
Well, it was for the back of it, right? Like, okay. He's targeting that specific, so there's, like, pistons joining
no
everything,
problem.
So you're just beating the shit out of it.
Yeah, so basically, if he's doing damage on the back and I'm doing damage on the front, I'm trying to take this leg out so he's going to topple.
Oh, no, I get the idea. So,
well, here we go. Oops, I didn't advantage that. I'm going to just do it again. Mm-hmm. All right, that's a miss. All right, one last
higher.
One. Yeah, I'll do that this time. Come on, man. Fantasy Grounds? This map is so big, I think it's messing me up.
Oh, you know what? I'll just close it all down.
No.
Harmon leaves. 25 will hit!
25 will hit. And that will be for...
Another 20 damage. Holy 20 shit.
Damage. Now, since I have done some bludgeoning damage, is it possible... Yeah, it is actually possible. Is it... Well... Let me ask. With my crusher feet, I'm able to, if I do any sort of bludgeoning damage, I can basically push this target 5 feet back. But what I don't want to do is hurt Cave.
I believe that's for
my
medium.
Little Xavier whistle.
Yeah, no, that's... I don't think you could push a huge target.
There's a size limit. It has to be one, no more than one size category over yours. And he's two. Sorry, Jasper. I should have told you that.
I'm not going to do what I was going to do then. I'm
okay.
Just going to play the game as it's supposed to be played, I
Soon
guess.
We're going to be going by the rule of cool for a lot of
but
things.
But would
so.
You say Harmon is a greedy man? And is greed some sort of sin, perhaps? Does
This is the hammer of sin.
Does that something cool do?
It is
cool
the things? It is the hammer of sin. We're kind of looking for a crit to activate something
okay.
big.
I figured.
But that's just one of his sins. he's got like a checklist.
I am, I'm all done.
Oh, God. Hale, he takes 1d10 damage on his turn, right?
Yeah, I reread it. It's the end of his turn, so go ahead, and then the end of the turn, you will take it.
Okay, so he's... Fuck this. He is going to do a little multi-attack, and he's going to target Floss, and he's going to swing down with this chainsaw and then use his giant, like this hammer fist thing. So let's do
with
that.
Disadvantage. With disadvantage.
Not anymore, because the intimidation lasts for the one round unless you sustain it. But it's been two rounds.
But isn't Xavier fun?
Yeah,
isn't
I love having him on the team.
So let's do this. Wah-wah! 24 will hit. 23 damage partially resisted because you are raging. And let's do that hammer fist. 23. 18 damage partially resisted. Can I get a strength saving throw from you, please?
Sure can.
We're looking for 17 though. Or higher.
There you go. You get advantage on that.
Who does?
You does.
You do?
Yeah.
Of course I do. Why wouldn't I? I understand the rules.
Oh, 25 will do it. You're fine.
Boom.
And at the end of his turn, 1d10 damage. Bro. Holy 10. Shit! Max damage. That's 10, baby. Boom, boom. As a result of being bloodied, he's going to start to panic. And he's kind of lost that cool demeanor. Like, it's like, I got this giant fucking thing. What are you going to do? But, like, you're starting to hurt him. Like, he knows Cave's behind him, and he can't get behind him. He's real big and strong, but, like, he's super slow, and he can't get behind him. These little ants are swarming him, and it's just pissing him right off. And he just starts going on this tirade over the loudspeaker. It's like, you come into my house! Like, he's just, like, real, like, oh my god, like, he's really pissed off. And he's going to start firing explosives into the air at random to try and get everyone around him. He can't target you directly, so he's just gonna... And what we're all gonna do is... We're all going to have, you know, everyone makes a dexterity saving throw. And if it's 12 or lower, I'm sorry, 12 or higher, you're fine. 11 or lower, you're going to take a significant amount of damage.
Is it fire damage?
Yes.
I don't even know.
Is so, this an effect I can see and could have reflex saving advantage on?
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, fantastic. These things are going up into the air, and you're like, uh-oh. Like you have all the warning in the world. So, yes, Xavier, yes. Jasper, Valerie,
so proud
give
of you,
me.
Jasper.
So proud of you.
Give me a dexterity save, please. Oof. Oh, no.
No, that's wrong. Let me roll again. Wow, seriously? Okay, well, I dropped a 6 to get a 6.
I'm gonna, when we do damage, I'm gonna reduce Floss's damage.
How about this? I've got Bardic Inspiration, nice. Right?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, you do.
Or that? Like,
can I add a D6 on that?
That's a D10.
D10. D10,
I'm sorry.
Yes, but roll high. Got to get at least a 5. Yeah, you're fine. You're fine.
Great. Yes.
Yeah.
Xavier, I don't see a roll.
Oh, it was including me. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. I thought it was in the vicinity. Okay. Whew. Reflex save. Here I go.
18. Okay. You are fine.
For a second.
Yeah. So he's going to lay waste to this place. There's fire everywhere. It's almost napalm, right? There's going to be big chunks of rock fun, and he's going to take damage as a result, but hit none of you. And it, like, Cave may eat something to the chest, but take no damage, because while your dexterity save was poor, you're flame-proof. It doesn't matter. That's got to be the most infuriating thing. Like, he's just setting fire to his own shit. He still can't kill you. This entire place, this area around you is going to go up. Everything's on fire.
Uh-oh.
So, this thing is going to light up, right? falling down that hole would have been terrible before, but now there's almost this roiling cauldron of heat and magma, and just it is terrible. Like, one or two rounds from now, these bridges are just gonna go up. Like, it's that hot in here. Like, you will bake alive. Like, he's cackling like a madman the entire time, just like, I want to watch you burn. Like, he's boss hogging it at this point. Like, it's getting real bad.
Wow.
That'll bring up the good doctor.
Hey, good doctor. So is there any fire on the ground we're standing on in regards to rolling a barrel of explosives?
Like, I imagine it's one of those things where you watch them all go up and you're in a relatively unscathed portion of the map, and it's just like looking around, it's like, oh god, like, you know, that could have been really bad. But you're pretty good.
Okay. I'm assuming this is pretty heavy, even though it's rolling, but I'll take it as far as I can, as long as, like, where you tell me that I can reach. Can I move him? Yes, okay.
If you move it right there and just roll it down the hill,
I kind of want to get to here, and then if there's an inclination, I'll just, like, push it with my foot. Otherwise, I'll keep, like, moving it closer and probably try to lure him after.
So, are you lighting this up and then rolling it?
I would probably, in my mind,
like, sticking a rag in there and just, like,
in the scene, I'd probably start rolling it and yell, Kive, light her up!
Oh, the alley-oop. Oh, God. Okay. Yeah. So, in the time it takes, so that's the end of your turn, and this thing's going to start rolling toward Cave now. Cave and Harmon, obviously. This thing would collide with the back of Harmon's legs, essentially, right? What does Cave want to do here?
So I think Cave, like, he hears that, turns around, he sees the barrel, and there's, like, a split second of, what the hell? Oh, boy, that's a red barrel.
Everyone knows!
So, you, like, on fire, completely, like, in flames, Cave does thumbs up over his shoulder, and then turns around and just puts both hands on the barrel. Like, as it bumps up against the back of Harmon's legs. And tell me if that's not enough to detonate it, because...
It'll go up.
Yeah.
It'll definitely go up. Okay, so... this is all fire damage. Mm-hmm. That should go without saying. And this is going to be 15d10 damage in a 20-foot radius. Centered on our big boy here. Now, the problem is that we have a floss in the blast radius.
I'm going to argue that if there's something that's two times bigger that I can't push, mm-hmm. it's going to at least give me some cover.
You know what? How about we give you half the damage that he's going to get, and then you have it again because you're in rage mode?
I'll take it.
You'll take a quarter of the damage.
I'll take
it. Does that sound fair?
You still get to save. See if you take half of that half of that half.
Honestly, is there a save from an explosion large enough?
Oh, this is like... save.
Okay, you know what?
Wait, is so this is a save, not an ability roll?
Oh, this yes. No. The barrels. The barrel just uses explode. Like, it's not really an ability thing. So, like, this is more environmental. Gotcha. So. Yeah, I'm going to say that this is more... like, Harmon's going to fail this, no matter what. This is an explosion big enough to maybe eat this bridge, to be honest. Like, this is big. So, this depends on how much damage is done. So, this barrel's going to roll down. It's going to press right up against the back of one of his heels. Cave's going to light it up, and we're going to see how much this does. 15d10 damage. 66... damage. So this is going to light up the back of Hale. This explosion is going to push him forward, and he's almost going to fall down. He's using this hammer to try and prop himself up. And It's going to rock this bridge. You're going to see little cracks and stuff start to form underneath of you as this churning heat coming from below is just cooking everything. You're going to watch these bridges start to immolate. Like, you're going to see, like, this wavy air just baking these bridges. That's going to bring up Hale, who is in full-blown panic mode now. Like, he's almost at the point where it's like, well, if I'm going to die, I'm going to make sure all of you die, too. Like, he's that, like... So what he's going to do is he's going to forego his normal attack, and he's going to try and spin 360 degrees with this chainsaw. And his goal isn't even to do damage, it's to knock you off the bridge. But the problem is, he's taken so much damage, and it's big and clumsy. I need all of you to make a dexterity... Well, okay, I'm sorry. I need Floss and Cave to make a dexterity saving throw, and all you gotta do is get 12 or higher.
Cool. Is this an effect I can see?
Yes.
Yeah. The giant mech spinning around. Yes.
Fantastic.
Oh, God.
With disadvantage.
Oh, disadvantage. Oh, the 14. Armor. 18 from Floss. So he's going to spin around, and it's just like, I imagine you just duck. And his, as he reaches the point where he's facing forward again, there's going to be this and sparks are going to start to come out of the back of this as fire creeps up the back of Hale's mech here. And that's going to bring up Floss.
Oh, man. Okay. Is there any discernible, like, that leg that everybody's been chipping away at? Is he about to fall in any particular direction?
He's probably about to fall at least to one knee forward, but it's probably... If he goes down, which he's just about to, he's just going to eat shit hard. Like, it's bad.
All right. Floss is going to... Well, I don't want to get in too much trouble by getting too close, but I'm going to get close anyway because he's Floss. He's going to go up, and he's going to hack away at the legs. He's trying to bring him down.
Yeah, no.
Here we go. Hammer of Sin.
Don't forget you have advantage on all these.
Oh, I do. Well, I hit anyway. All right, here comes first attack, whacking away at the leg.
Oh my god, so this leg is going to pop. You're going to hear this, and steam is just going to rocket out the back of this. Not that Cave cares. He's eating this in the face and nothing is hurting him. And it's a refreshing, it's a nice dry breeze. And he's going to come down to one knee, and he's trying to, like, prop himself up, and this leg is just obliterated, right? It is sheared off at the knee, and he's just trying to right himself and get up again. You got two more attacks, sir.
Yeah, in whichever direction he is holding himself away from, in other words, if he's holding himself up trying to fall over to the left, Floss is going to, that first attack is on that leg. The second attack is going to be to knock him in the head in the same direction so that it potentially can knock him out or into that direction. So here we go.
23 will hit.
I'm looking for a crit, man, just for fun. And
16 damage to Hale. You're going to slam down on just this chest head portion, and that dome is going to crack. That's the only thing keeping you and him apart, and he's going to, like, the force of this hammer striking it, he's going to roll over, and now he's propped up on one elbow, leaning on the bridge, and he is desperately trying to take this other hand and, like, hook the hammer on the other side and, like, pull himself up, but he can't get to it. It's the bridge is just rickety, and it's just eating away, he's chipping away at the bridge instead of using it to hook.
Whatever, in this moment of all of this happening, Floss is going to put his non-weapon hand for a second onto that glass and then go dunk, 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 to sort of just get his attention, and then he's going to do the hammer and then straight on the top.
Oh god,
this is where we crit.
No,
that's, you still, you have advantage.
Oh well, I'll roll another one, how about that, just in case it's a crit.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Okay.
22 will
still
hit.
Still good, but I just want to crit for fun. That's all. 13 damage.
So, two things here. One, this dome is all, like, it is spiderwebbed out, right? It is, he can't even see out to look anymore. And he's stopped messing with the controls, and he's trying to get the dome open as this is rocking back and forth, as this arm just is not supporting it anymore. The bridge is eroding beneath that right elbow, and he's just teetering, and he can't get the dome open because it's so broken and smashed. He can't get it open. I'm gonna let you go ahead and take one more attack with opportunity.
Fantastic. Okay, here we go. Hammer, and it's going to be... Floss is going to look confused for a second. That should have broken. What? Hang on a second! He's as though he's trying to help him.
You're going to strike this one last time. And this is just going to shatter. He's going to fall back into the seat to try and get away from this incoming shattered glass and, the more importantly, the hammer behind it, and it's gonna miss him, and he's going to fall back in the seat, and the entire thing is going to pitch and then roll over the side of this bridge, and he is going to tumble backward into this pit. And we're talking hundreds of feet down. He is finally going to hit magma, and you're going to be able to see, like, this backsplash is going to eat up most of that impact. But slowly but surely, this island the mech has created for itself is going to slowly sink into the magma as flames erupt around bits and pieces of metal and, you know, just these hoses, all kinds of shit. And he's just looking. There's nothing he can do as he tries to get up from falling that far, and then just, he's bathed in shards of glass, and as he reaches and punctures his hand on this wired glass mesh that he's trying to pull himself out of, the magma's just going to start to seep into the cockpit, and you're going to watch him erupt into flame as this eats his body alive. He's just screaming hundreds of feet down. And then it's going to swallow him, and he's going to be no more.
Linda's going to run over to the side of the bridge so she can watch. And as he's, you know, screaming and being burned alive, Linda's going to yell down and say, "Hey, Harmon! May you rest in peace." I'm just gonna turn around. She's like, let's leave.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's it. We gotta get out of here unless if the thing, this whole place is gonna like explode.
Oh yes. It's yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Not, here's the thing. Any further and it's going to start to do just heat damage to all of you. So it's like that shitty Metroid game where Samus wasn't allowed to put on her armor till some guy told her she could. except for Cave. Cave's fine.
It's fine.
Cave's just standing there watching it happen and goes, "Wow, that was really intense."
Cave doesn't just cannonball into the magma.
It is my medical opinion that we should get the hell out of here.
Floss tries to start clomping his way. He's going slow, but he's...
Yeah, Cave will sort of do the windmill arm, trying to get everybody out. Like, he's going to go last. He's on fire, so, like, he's not as worried. Just, like, everybody out. Like, show's over. We got to go.
As you guys leave the way you came in, you're going to see all of Hale's workers just fleeing. Like, there's... shit's on fire. It's exploding. He's like, they're not getting paid enough for this. They are going to flee. They're going to take that as a really bad sign that they see you and not him. And they're outie. They're outie 5,000.
People are like, no, wait, I have a job opportunity. Please come work.
Do you want to try?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like as soon as we get out of the actual cave where all the fire is, Cave will stop being where all the fire is. And then he'll start being like, no, it's okay. Like, stop. Who wants a job? Applications here.
Give me persuasion.
Okay. Let's see.
All you need to do is pass a simple physical exam.
Oh, that was almost a 4.
Yeah.
Rolled over to 11. That's
well, that's
a 20.
When I turned the fire off. It rolled from a 4 to 11.
It's like, oh, wait, hold on.
Oh, yeah. 1 minute.
What I am is screaming fire right now. Hold on a second. Let me just... A lot of these guys are thinking this whole complex is going down, but it's mainly that huge chamber you were in. A lot of this is the living quarters and stuff after you get away from that, and it seems to be pretty okay. That whole thing is a concern in there, but, you know, they're gonna... Most, I'd say, you're gonna retain 90% of them, and, they're gonna... It's like, okay, I do need a job. Like, they're, you know, that they gotta work.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know how into what we want to get, but basically, like, as these people, like, calm down and kind of gather around the four of us, I think Linda and Cave would go to work being like, okay, so, you know, that was unpleasant, we understand, but, you know, now that we are in charge, here's how things are going to go. You know, we need everybody's name, we'll fill out these forms, blah, 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 you know, fade to black.
I want to do something to wrap this up.
I was just going to say, just before the scene ends, just from the back, Dr. Bell goes like, hey, where are the rubies back there?
Oh, no.
And then the scene ends.
There was some collateral damage, I'm not going to lie. But
it's probably fair.
I want to jump ahead 2 months. I want to go around the table. And when I ask you what one major change you want to make, because technically... the Twin Oaks Mining Company just expanded quite a bit. So, starting with Linda, what is one change that your many days on the job here have just screamed out to you?
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you asked this question, Jason. Linda, now that we have done an expansion... Linda would like to change the name of the company to the Triplet Oaks Mining Company. And that will be her one thing that she does.
Cave, what about you?
Oh, man. I think that in the side of the mountain where our initial camp was, I don't know if we've moved camp fully over to Harmon's side or if we're split between the two or whatever it is, but on this into the side of the mountain where we started, Cave would have actually built his new base of operations, which is an actual like legit warlock tower, like a spire coming up from the side of the mountain.
Is everyone invited there, or is that just, like, has Cave isolated himself?
It's intimidating as shit, but, like, the handful of people that he works with on a regular basis, like, it's an open-door policy. Everybody else has to talk to Bastard first.
At this point, I would like to imagine that your cursed items, it's been 2 months, those have been lifted, and... Mm-hmm. Now you just live in a house that was like the armor, where it's intimidating as shit, it's not stealthy at all, but inside, it's really spacious. It's nice.
Yeah, the curse is off, but the armor is off, but the curse still lives within Cave. Within his dark
in his heart. Yeah.
Is there any way to get the curse gone but not remove the curse, if you know what I mean? Like, I kind of
the problem, not the curse, really.
What about Dr. Bell? 2 whole months.
I've been thinking a lot about what he would be doing in the future. Stop me when it's too much, if it does end up to be too much. He wanted to be proactive to help Linda in her new job, and there were aspirations mentioned in the past few months, like 2 months ago. I remember Linda said, I should be the mob, and Floss said, yeah, we should be the mob, and Cave said, I should be the mob. So what Chapman does over the course of 2 months is an elaborate scheme. Let me go through it. Let me run you through it. He makes up a new disguise for himself. He re-randomizes it many, many times until it's very average, very inconspicuous. if that's the right English word. Like, very, nobody would ever suspect that guy. So during those 2 months, he learns basic cooking, at least very good, simple recipes from Vicky, the cook at the camp. And he learns how to make basic scrambled eggs. Not basic, but very good scrambled eggs. And one night he just disappears from the camp and he goes to Newbury. And the cook disappears. The cook from the mob restaurant disappears. And this new chef applies for the job. He gets it. And then one day he prepares the scrambled eggs for the Don. And he has this vial of poison that he's got from the shop the other day. And I want to poison the Don so that there's no more Don and there's a power vacuum. And I'm going to bring this to Linda on a silver plate and hope for her thankfulness. And he also changes his name to something like nobody would suspect. So something like
Chiller.
Something exotic like a Don Lizard.
Joey Eggs.
Joey Eggs.
Oh, shit. You were born for this job. Joey, let's go. Chop, chop. Jasper, what would Floss do in 2 months?
Within 2 months, truly. Well, there's two things. But the one that matters is, this goes back to the very beginning. He's kind of within the cave system. He has a little cubby hole that's his place. He's got a little tiny place to sort of sit and just shut down. He's got a couple of little shelves where he's got some trinkets. One of the things that he does have is another stool or a place so that he can have guests like originally Dr. Chapman, Mr. Cave, to come visit and have a drink and tell stories. But one of the things that he did have on his shelves are, because of all of his ore extraction, he's found lots of little tiny crystals, little gems, nothing of any importance specifically. But he has them positioned on his shelves almost like little keepsakes, little beautiful things. And so if this were a cinematic, right? 2 months later, everybody else is at Warlock Tower and all sorts. And now, poison and eggs and changing the sign. And all that sort of pans over is Floss is back in his little cubbyhole. He's sitting with a grin on his face. And as the camera pans back a bit on the shelf, included with his crystals is a big clump of rubies. And then it just sort of fades away from Floss. That's the only thing that's different for him.
After 2 months, things have settled down. There's been some order restored. The old Harmon Hale hires have been paired up with their counterparts from the old Twin Oaks, and there's been some on-the-job training. The turnover was so terrible over at Twin Oaks that Some more new hires had to be brought in. There was a bit of an awkward moment. They said, hey, that thing where we killed some of your guys and roughed you up, that was just, you know, oof. What are you going to do? So, Bastard has been in and out of communication with Cave, sometimes for weeks at a time. And every time he returns, he's very vague about what's going on. It's like, restructuring, blah, 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 blah. And he's going to return out of the blue after 2 weeks in this Warlock Tower. I don't know if anyone else would be here but Cave.
I mean, randomly, probably not, unless Linda was up there for like a weekly meeting or something like that.
I mean, no, I think Linda's is very busy in her office, because now there's so much more paperwork with all of these new employees. So she's living her best life in her office.
That must be nice to finally get to do the job you actually signed up to do.
Mm-hmm. All we had to do was murder a bunch, and then we finally got to do it. Yeah.
Let that be a lesson out there, kids. please don't kill anyone and then blame me. Hey, your boss.
Yeah, come on in.
I mean, I was gonna... Yeah.
Look, you don't have to get defensive. What's up?
You know how, you know, I go away, I come back, you ask me what's going on, and then, you know, I don't really have an answer for you. And then you get all pissed, and then I leave again. Honestly, you've been pushing me away a little bit. I'm gonna tell you. Just kind of come out there and say it.
I mean, it rings a bell. Dude.
Okay. So it turns out there's this whole new set of gods.
Okay.
Like a whole new set. Like, it's essentially someone else owns your contract now. And everybody who has a pact is being asked to come to the mainland. There's like a spot. Like, they have a spot. Like, it's up in the mountains, but like, it's like their house. They live there. On the ground.
They moved into the mainland?
Yes.
Oh. Okay. I want to say you're full of shit, but you're not allowed to lie to me, so... Okay, I'm listening.
No, it's like a big deal. Like, anybody who sold their soul or made a pact with the old demons... They're not, like, dead, but they've been kind of folded over. It's a whole new thing. And they're gonna pass judgment on you.
See, I don't know about that. That doesn't sound like something I'm gonna go do.
Right. So, okay, there's a follow-up to this.
Okay.
They're asking everybody to do that, but if you don't, they're gonna come and send somebody to judge you on the spot. Like a gopher, but big, mean.
I mean... I'm not seeing the disadvantage here. Like, I like it here. We just got this going the way we want it. Now I have to leave for like a 2-month trip to go back to the mainland where I said that I would never go again. But they're just going to send a guy to me if I don't do it. Like, that sounds fine, right?
Well, okay. Maybe I'm not expressing this in the urgent terms. So if you go and they pass judgment and they find that you're fine, they basically are going to reward you and then let you walk. Like, you get to keep your soul and the powers and move forward. And if, of course, they see you as a big pain in the ass and not worthy of it and whatever, it's kind of tying up loose ends from, you know, the old days.
But if they send a guy to me, they're just going to tie up loose ends?
Oh, yeah, they're just going to kill you. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I hate that. All right. I guess, well, shit. And he's like looking. He's like in the middle of lunch. He's like, did they put any kind of timeline on this? Do I have like a couple of days or?
I mean, they know that, like, they know it takes a while. But basically, you got to start moving forward, you know? Like, intent. Show up, you know?
Do like a big sigh and roll his eyes and be like, all right. Do me a favor, let Linda know that I'm going to be gone for a little while, I guess. And I'll start getting packed because I'd like to not be murdered and possibly get my soul back. So that sounds like a win-win. All I got to do is waste a couple months traveling to a place I don't want to go to, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're going alone.
What, are they going to sit there and watch me get my soul back? That doesn't sound fun for any of us. It sounds embarrassing, right?
I mean, like, there's the whole, like, getting there, you know? Like, you ever been up in the mountains? They got, like cyclopses. Crazy shit.
So they invite me, and then they're going to have stuff that's just going to attack on the way?
It's this whole thing about not interfering with, like, the natural... Look.
I'm just saying, for somebody who doesn't want to interfere, this is really inconvenient. I'm just going to say that. But, yeah, I guess I'll talk to the team and see if they want to come. I'm not going to, you know... We got a business to run. I can't upend all that just to go get my soul judged. Like, ridiculous.
I mean, if you want to save time, I think I got a way to save time.
Okay.
So there's these gate things, right?
I heard of them.
Right. Well, it'd be a hell of a lot shorter to walk to one of those. And it's like a hop, skip, and a jump. You ain't got to be out to sea. You know what they got out to sea?
Is there a gate near here? I know exactly what they have out to sea, first of all. Don't bring that up ever to me again.
I just thought you, of all people, wouldn't want to get on no boat.
No, I don't want to get on a boat. Hence my whole resistance to this entire idea. Where's the gate, bastard?
It's like 5 days. 5 days to get there.
All right, perfect. We're like... find a map somewhere on his pile of paper and be like, point to it. Where's the gate? Like, I want to know where it is, because that's good for business anyway. We can get rubies to the mainland with that, first of all. Like, why didn't anybody tell me about this? I'm a little bit mad, but in the meantime, just, like, let's figure this out.
You never asked. What? I can't lie to you, but I don't have to offer up information all the time.
I think it'd be a lot better for our relationship if you did, you know? Be like, hey, here's a super useful and profitable thing.
Well, I mean, no offense, there's tons of shit you don't know, though.
I mean, I feel like I'm a pretty open book about these type of things. You can just come and tell me stuff, and I would be happy to know it.
I would love for us to fade out on those two arguing. And that's just
the they end. Love each other. Right. Just bone already.
Just kiss it. Ah, you're so pointy.
We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors. Please don't go anywhere.
We really hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Please, if you haven't, subscribe to us on iTunes. Let us know what you think. And, iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. If you didn't know, we did put our older episodes into a brand new feed so that you can continue to listen to them. They're still free. They're being added to all your favorite podcast aggregators. And if they're not there yet, just give us a little bit more time. Some of the approval processes take a little bit longer than others. Obviously, Google Play, iTunes, stuff like that, that's pretty quick. Stuff like Spotify, Pandora, and Overcast and stuff take just a little bit longer. There is a brand new show coming on October 31st. That's right, Halloween night. The debut of the Therian Tales. It is a brand new show, brand new feed. We'll be hyping that up as we get just a little bit closer, but it's a story podcast. It is just stories from the world of Theria, and we're really excited to debut that. Well, we will see you next week with a brand new episode. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for supporting. Take care, and we will see you next week. Until then, everybody, good luck with your games.